Scripture today that we're going to look at this morning, just as we open our Bibles. I hope you brought one. It's always good to follow along in the Scriptures. We have three texts we're going to look at today. They're found in Habakkuk chapter 3, Psalms 100, and Psalms 50. We'll start with the Habakkuk passage all the way towards the end of the Old Testament. When you get to the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. If you've gone all the way to Matthew, you've gone too far. Habakkuk chapter 3, I've got a message today. I'm titling this message, Thanksgiving is a Choice. Amen. Thanksgiving is a choice. And I want us to remember that has rung in my ears this week. I had really not intended to do a Thanksgiving message, but you know, I really believe the Lord put it on my heart to do one, to remind us. I think it's always appropriate to remind us, I have to remind myself, that we ought to be a thankful people. Always thankful, constantly grateful, people of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, as some have said. We can't fall into the snare of grumbling and complaining and sour outlook on everything. Amen. And when it comes right down to it, gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving, it is a choice. It's a choice that we personally make. And Habakkuk is speaking of the terrible things that have happened upon his nation. And I think most of us are familiar with at least parts of Habakkuk chapter 2, one of the famous passages, the just will live by faith. Chapter 3, verse 2, he says, Lord, in judgment remember mercy. And in the end of chapter 3, perhaps one of the more famous verses, we sing it sometimes, Habakkuk 3 and verse 17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the herd, and there be from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. It speaks of a bleak and difficult time when you think about it. Though the fig tree shall not bear fruit. You know, fig trees don't really blossom with flowers, but they do bear beautiful fruit. And he says, though the fig tree shall not bear fruit, neither shall grapes, the clusters, the precious fruit of the vine, be on the vines, and the labor of the olive fail. That is, no olives on the olive trees. Now look, that's olive country. Olives were a staple, and no wonder why. What is better than olives when it comes right down to it? I'll eat them for breakfast sometimes. And the fields shall yield no meat. That is, no grain. Nothing is growing in the fields. The flock cut off from the fold. What has happened? Have they died? Diseased? Stolen? Dead? Dying? And no herd. Nothing in the stall. You know, you put your cattle in the stall when you're fattening them up. You put them in there to prepare them to eat. But there's no herd to put in the stall. There's nothing to eat. Here's what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Verse 18. Yet even so I will rejoice in the Lord. That's what I will do. It's a choice, beloved. Amen. It's not a feeling. Listen to me. Amen. Being thankful is not a feeling. Sometimes you may not feel all that thankful. Yeah. Things going on in your life, trials, troubles, circumstances, difficult things, squabbles in the family or whatever, you're not feeling all that thankful. But thanksgiving is not a feeling, it's a choice. And it's a choice we must choose. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I may not rejoice for all these terrible circumstances, but I'm going to trust God through these terrible circumstances. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's where I'll find my joy and my peace. Because I'm going to tell you, there's times in life where that's the only place you're going to find it. The only place it exists in the Lord, our salvation. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. This was a song to the chief singer on stringed instruments. He makes a choice. No matter, here's what's going on in my life. Yet, I choose to rejoice. I choose to be thankful. And how can you choose to be thankful when your circumstances are so bleak? You can choose to be thankful because God is your salvation. He's your rock. He's your supplier, your provider, your protector. He never changes. Circumstances change. And they change sometimes radically over the course of life. We change. Our bodies change. People around us change. Our world changes in many different ways. It's hard to keep up with it. You know, I feel like I'm a 50s guy stuck in a 21st century that can't keep up with the technology. I can barely make my smartphone work. Like one guy said, it's terrible. My phone's smarter than me. You know, it's... Here's what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now that is a declaration of trust. Because I'll tell you, if verse 17 characterized most people, rejoicing wouldn't be their next statement. It would be complaining, murmuring, grumbling, and perhaps blaming God, not rejoicing in God. In fact, some even blaspheming God. But here, I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, you know who can say that? People who believe God. People who believe God's word is true. That's when you can say that. I'm going to rejoice no matter what I feel like, no matter what it looks like. Amen. Now, you see, if your faith is not in God, you can't say, you might could say it, but it wouldn't be true. It would just be hollow words. But when you are rooted in the faith, that is, you believe what God said. He says He's your Father. Amen. He says He'll provide your needs. Thank you, Lord. He says we're saved, we're His children. How about we just believe that? No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what's harping in your ears, no matter what thoughts are racing through your head, here's what He says. I'm making a choice. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. No matter what happens, I'm in God's hands. Amen. Y'all believe that? Yes. I have to ask, do we really believe that? Do you really believe you're in God's hands?
Yes.
And that He cares for us? Do you believe He cares for you? Personally, individually. Amen. You know, there are things we sing that are certainly true. We sing, He knows my name. And He does. He knows my name. But there's something even more precious than that. He doesn't just know my name. He knows me.
Amen.
There are people who know my name, but they don't know me. There's people I know their names, but do I really know them?
No.
Not really. But God does more than just know your name. He knows you. And He loves you anyway.
Amen.
He knows me and loves me anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
My point today is that thanksgiving is a choice. choose to be thankful. I know that we're coming up on Thanksgiving week. In fact, why don't you make your way over to Psalms 100. I like to call this one the Thanksgiving Psalm. Although there are many psalms that speak of Thanksgiving, but this one always stands out in my mind. Another Thanksgiving week rolls around, and a lot of folks will be quite busy. A lot of hustle and bustle in many homes and many families. You know, different people have... We have to recognize that not everybody views Thanksgiving the same way. Some love it, some dread it. For some, it's a lot of anticipation. A lot of anticipation. I'm going to be with family and friends. It's the most one of the most traveled days of the year. People travel from all over to come home or be with family and friends and so forth. So for many, it's going to be a hustle, bustle, busy time, eating, feasting. But for many others, it's not that way at all. Some people are very distant. You know, their family is distant. And some people, the distance is not just in miles, but it's in emotions. Some people are emotionally distant from their families. They're just not close, never have been close. And some, you could say, not close is a mild way of putting it. Some people don't have much family. Some have little or no family left. For some people, Thanksgiving is going to be a big fat turkey on the table and all the fixings. For others, it may be one or two friends. For others, it may be macaroni and cheese out the box sitting at home. Whatever our Thanksgiving day will look like, right, let's still choose to be thankful. Let's choose to be thankful for what we have, for what God has given, for His supply. Whether you're surrounded by many or by none, the Lord is with you. Whether there's two or three, whether there's 20 or 30. What matters is that we have this attitude of gratitude and that we choose thanksgiving. In Psalms 100, beginning in verse 1, we're exhorted here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Be glad, shout, sing, rejoice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. This applies only to Israel. This applies to every nation, every people in Israel. Every age, in every generation, all ye lands, all the earth, the Hebrew reads, all the earth, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with moaning and groaning and grumbling. Come before His presence with singing. It's a joy to come into the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible, when we see things like this, you may wonder, well, why do we sing like that in church? Because the Bible tells us to.
That's right.
That we come before His presence with singing. We make a joyful noise. This isn't a funeral home. We can sing. We can shout.
Amen.
We can show a little emotion. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is God. It's He that made us, not we ourselves. Or as the Hebrew reads, it is He that has made us, and His we are.
Amen.
We are His people. We are His sheep.
Amen.
We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So here, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving. That means we should, any time we come before the Lord, it should be with a thankful heart. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And then he tells us again, two times in this verse, to be thankful. Be thankful. He tells us to be thankful, but I want to remind you, it's a choice. You have to choose it. Lord, I am going to be thankful. I am not going to be one of those complaining, mumbling, grumbling, negative people. Help me to be thankful. Help me to be a thankful person. It's a choice.
Amen.
We can be thankful. We can bless his name. How can you do that? For the Lord is good. He's always good. His mercies are everlasting, and his truth, his word is truth, John 17:17, his truth endures to all generations. Whatever our personal experience or circumstance may be, let's choose, not just this week or not just Thursday, but let's choose every day to be thankful, to be a thankful people. It really is a choice. You know, it's interesting that the government has set aside one day of the year that they call Thanksgiving Day. Now, in our age of increasing secularism, when Christianity or any belief in God is suppressed, well, it's worse than suppressed, it's basically banned. And outlawed and ridiculed and mocked. This is a government sanctioned acknowledgement of a creator. Think about it. It's a government sanctioned acknowledgement that there is a creator to thank. Thanksgiving Day. How about that? I wonder how long it'll be before they take that one away. Who do we offer thanksgiving to? We offer it to the Creator, to the Almighty, to the beneficent God that we serve. It's a dilemma for an atheist, you know, Thanksgiving Day. But like Chesterton said, the worst moment for an atheist is to have this overwhelming feeling of gratitude and no one to be thankful to, you know. Who do they thank? I posted a little cartoon where people are sitting around a table with a big turkey on it, an atheist Thanksgiving. And they said, and we thank evolution for turning a dinosaur into a big fat ball of meat with a tiny head. It's got to be terrible, you know. To feel thankful, but no one to thank. It's interesting that all the way back in the days when this country was actually founded, the Congress asked the president, the first president of the United States, who was George Washington, just checking, you know. I see too many of these people with microphones on the street asking people, okay, who was the first president? Oh, gee, Abraham Lincoln? yeah. What are kids learning, huh? Well, here was George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation. It dates to 1789. Listen to this. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. How about that? Wouldn't you love to hear a president say something like that today? That both houses of Congress have recommended that we set aside a day to acknowledge the goodness of our Creator and to thank Him for His protection and provision. And to thank Him for a form of government that does not persecute people of faith. Amen. He says, I'm going to read a little more. Bear with me. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent Author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we then may all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. How about that? He goes on and speaks about being thankful for the degree for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, and for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. It's longer than this, but you know, it touched my heart. Amen. To read this by the hand of George Washington, signed on the third day of October, 1789. 227 years ago. The founder, we could say, many call him the father of the nation, you know, being the first president of the nation. He believed it vital for the people of America to not only believe in God, but to be thankful for the God that created us and blessed us and provides for us. No matter whether we eat alone or whether we eat with many, we must choose thankfulness. We must be a thankful people. And woe to the nation that is no longer thankful to their Creator. I do believe that it's important that we remind ourselves regularly to be thankful. I made a list a few years ago of just some of the things that we enjoy. I'm going to read this short list again. There's things that we enjoy that many people on earth do not, like drinkable water. We don't even give that a second thought almost. I know that, you know, you tend to get spoiled drinking water out of a bottle and you forget that, you know, you really can drink it right out the tap. In most places. But I just read, again, not long ago, that almost 10 million people a year will die from contaminated drinking water. Wow. We can be thankful that anytime you're thirsty, water's available. Many, many parts of the world, drinking water is just so scarce and rare a commodity. We take it for granted. You're right. Or food, just food to eat. Yeah. We can eat as much as we want. You look at a few of us and you can tell we enjoy ourselves, you know. While a third of the population of Earth is underfed, and they tell me another third are starving. 15 million children will die this year just from hunger. Other things like electricity, we take so many things for granted.
Yeah, we
complain if it just goes out for an hour. The power was out here last night. I don't know what happened, but thankfully we were wondering if it was going to be on this morning for church. But praise God, back on. But there's still 2.5 billion people in the earth, on the earth, who cook with wood or charcoal. Another 5 billion people on the earth wash their clothes by hand.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Not by choice, just what they have. 5 billion. There's only 7 billion people on the earth. So you think about how blessed we are. We are a blessed people. 100 million people are homeless. I just read yesterday there are 65 million refugees right now. 65 million. These are people without roofs over their heads. I've traveled in parts of the country where people lived in sewer pipes, where they live on sidewalks. America has a homeless problem, but nothing like the rest of the world. You have a roof over your head? Hey, it may not be in the most prestigious neighborhood, but it's your place, right? It's your little private place. And you can close the door at and lock it, and there you are. And you have heat and air conditioning and food in the refrigerator, and while you might not be eating filet mignon every night, I wouldn't recommend you do if you could, but we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. And if you have an automobile in your driveway somewhere, only 1 person out of 8 in the world have access to an automobile, let alone own one. Can you read? Well, there are billions of people on earth who cannot. You have health care available? Hey. Our healthcare system may be broken, but if you got to see a doctor, you can.
You're right.
Not true in many, many parts of the world. Political freedom, well, 1/3 of Earth's population lives in an oppressive regime.
Wow. 1/3.
1/3. And freedom of worship, 75% of the Earth's population does not enjoy freedom to worship like we do.
Wow.
75%.
Thank you, Lord.
So while we complain about our broken system and broken government, still the best place to live on earth. It's far from perfect. One day it'll be perfect when the perfect one comes and makes it perfect. But we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Let's remember, Thanksgiving is a choice. Say, I don't have much to be thankful for. We have plenty to be thankful for. We'll find something to grumble about, though. If it's hot, then we want it cold. When it's cold, we want it hot. You know the old saying, as a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not. The Lord calls us repeatedly to thanksgiving. Psalms 105. Let me just read a couple verses to you. Psalms 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's a call. Let's all do it. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 107, 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. And look, it's not just the Old Testament, the New Testament. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks occasionally.
Always.
Once in a while. When we feel like it. When we're in the mood. When things are going our way. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, for all of His provision, for all of His blessings, for all of His mercies. Giving thanks always. How about Colossians 3? You have to love Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Again, this is not a suggestion. It's a choice, but it's also our duty as Christians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's remind ourselves, again, not just this week, not just Thursday, but always.
Amen.
Rusty, choose thankfulness. Choose to be thankful.
Right.
Choose thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let's not fall into the snare of the last day generation that the Bible said would be characterized by ingratitude.
Right.
You know, that's what the Bible says. The latter generation in the last days, what will characterize them? Ingratitude, unthankfulness. That will be a characteristic, a major characteristic of the last day generation. We haven't got to this passage yet in our studies in 2 Timothy, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days, in the last times, perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Goes on and talks about them being without natural affection and truce breakers and false accusers and incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. But the characteristic I would like for us to think about is unthankful. They will be unthankful. An unthankful generation would be people who consider themselves entitled. They're entitled to that. And they don't really have a God to be thankful to. Romans chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but you know one of the reasons the Bible speaks of the people who were turned over to reprobation, one of the reasons that they were turned over to that, the Bible says, neither were they thankful. They were not thankful. Boy, that's, in the eyes of God, that is a cardinal sin, to be unthankful. He has been so good to us, so merciful. His kindness comes from every place. And you know, gratitude changes us. A grateful heart changes us. Let me tell you what it does. It has tremendous power, gratitude. Gratitude, it changes what you have into enough. That's what gratitude has the power to do. It changes what you have into enough. Choose it. God requires it. It's our duty to render it. And it's a choice. Another passage, Psalms 50. I said I had three passages. Let's look at Psalms 50. I want us to look there quickly, if you don't mind. Psalms 50 and verse 14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Psalms 50, 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Offer unto God thanksgiving, not just the outward form, you know, but this psalm is more than just a psalm of instruction. It's also a bit of a correction, an admonition, a song of reproof, this particular psalm. Israel had taken great pride in their rituals. You know, they did the ritual sacrifices and they were pleased with themselves. And they assumed, hey, I do my duty. It's my responsibility to offer these sacrifices. Therefore, I do it. God's happy with me. Like people who think, well, all my responsibilities are is to put a few bucks in the offering and God's pleased with me. But here's what he says. If you look with me to verse 7, same psalm, Psalms 50. He says, "Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God. I am your God. I will not reprove thee for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings to have been continually before me." I'm not rebuking you because you've brought sacrifices. No, that's not his point. He just wanted them to know that he gets no pleasure from sacrifices that are just done out of ritual. Just a ritual, just a ritual, just a routine. But in their hearts, they were greedy and proud and arrogant. It's not just observance of some outward ritual that God blesses. In fact, they were so proud. "Look, we brought you this lamb. We brought you this sacrifice. We brought you this offering. Here's what God says. I don't need it." Verse 10. "Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills." He said, verse 11, "I know all the fowl of the mountain, the wild beast of the field. They're all mine. I don't need it." And here's what else he says. "You bring it. I'm not going to eat it." You know, God's not like the priest. When you brought a sacrifice to the tabernacle or the temple, you know, the priest ate a sizable portion of it. That was the whole idea. Remember, they didn't have land. They lived off the tithe of the people. They ate most of the sacrifices. There were exceptions, you know, like the whole burnt offering and so forth. But that's what they lived on. But here's what God says. "You bring all these sacrifices. You're so proud of yourselves. You're doing the rituals. You're doing the routines. But guess what? I'm not going to eat it." Here's what he says. "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world's mine. The fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? No, here, I'll tell you what I want from you." Verse 14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, a grateful heart, some gratitude." Amen. Not just a ritual, but true gratitude from the heart. Amen. Hello.
Amen.
That's what he says. "Bring me the offering of a thankful heart. That he will accept. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you and you'll glorify me." How about this? Again, it's a choice. He's calling for them to choose gratitude. I believe he calls the same for us.
Yes,
let's choose gratitude. And if you can't think of anything else to be grateful for, how about we just be grateful that he saved us?
Amen.
As Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, he said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift. It's a gift so great, words fail to convey the enormity, the blessing, the fact that our sins have been erased, that he died in our place.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was talking to a person the other day, and, you know, somehow the subject came around to our dogs. But anyway, he was telling me about his dog, and somehow or another the subject came up, and he said, "Well, he's a rescue." And you know what I thought? So am I. Yeah. I'm a rescue too. That the Lord would look upon somebody like me, somebody like us. And then, you know, they're always talking about these animal shelters, so full of dogs and cats, abandoned, lost, strays. How many millions of them are euthanized every year? Many find homes, many are adopted, but many do not. Many are, these are creatures with sad lives, don't you think? I want you to think about a flea-bitten, vermin-infested, mangy, mutt, sick, goop coming out of its eyes and ears, and maybe crippled up in one leg. I want you to think about this frightened animal cowering in the corner of a pen. Anybody that comes close, it's terrified of them. Maybe it growls at them. There's nothing attractive about that dog. Nothing attractive about that cat. Nothing attractive about that animal. Nothing at all. Nothing to recommend it to a potential adopter. But you know, the Bible says that's exactly what we were when God chose us. He tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's not likely that any of us would go to the pound and choose the worst, ugliest, sickest, nastiest, worst-tempered animal there and say, yeah, give me that one. That's the one I want to bring home to my family. No, we'd look for one that had bright eyes and looked happy to see us, something with a pretty face and a healthy body. That's what we would choose. God chose you and me. There is no figuring that. There's no explanation, but you know what we can do? We can say like Paul, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift that He chose us. That of all the people who had so much more to recommend them, He chose us. He said, no, give me the mangy one in the back there. Give me that one. Can we be thankful?
Yes. Yes.
Can we choose thankfulness?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I have to remind myself, because it's real easy for me to fall into the snare of just complaining or grumbling. I have to thank my wife for being a voice of conscience, you know. But I am thankful, and I'm thankful for this local body. I'm thankful for you, for your prayers, for your expressions of love. I'm very thankful. I'm thankful not only for you and for this body, but you know, I'm thankful for the expressions of Christ all over the world. God has people all over. And what a blessing it is to just have the same heart and mind as somebody you never met before. But when you see Christ in them, you know that's your brother. Whether they're red, yellow, black, or white, that's my brother, that's my sister. And one day we'll all dwell together under the perfect reign of the perfect government. In the meantime, let's choose to be thankful. Yes. Let's choose thanksgiving. We have health, and while we may be going through trials and struggles, yet look, you made it here. We still have much to be thankful for. Few things may creak and groan as I walk, but praise God, I'm walking.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Thankful for all of His provision. Amen. We may not have as much as the next person, but we've got enough. Thanksgiving turns what you have into enough.
Amen. That's good.
We can be thankful for the people in our life. Be thankful for the people God's put in your life. You know, I was just thinking just the other day about people that God brought through my life through the years. I mean, people, godly people that had a godly influence on me. Whether they were Sunday school teachers, deacons in the old church, whoever they were, people that stand out in my mind as people who influenced me and made me realize that you can be blessed and happy and you don't have to be drunk to do it. That real happiness isn't found in a six-pack or a 12-pack. It's found in the Lord. And I'm thankful for people whose lives modeled Christian joy and Christian stability. I am so thankful for stable Christian influences. I'm thankful for each and every one of you whose walk has been stable through the years. You walk with God through thick and thin, through ups and downs, through trials and blessings, and here you are still, praising God, serving God, living for God, worshiping God, giving to the body, serving the Lord in whatever way you can. I am thankful for your example. You don't even know that you are an example, but you are. I'm thankful for all of God's blessing, provision, care, protection. He's protected us from a million dangers we're not even aware of. The Bible says, I'm going to close with one last verse this morning. It's Psalms 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, established, directed by the Lord. And he delights in his way, that is, the good man or woman is the object of God's favor and love. Psalms 37, verse 23. And then the next verse, verse 24, says, though he fall, that is, though he stumble, though he fall down, though he fall short, and many of us do, none of us are perfect. Sometimes it happens. Even good men fall down. Good women fall short. But here's what the Bible says. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He will not be thrown away. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, literally, God's got your hand. We hold on to God, but more importantly, he holds on to us. He's got us. He's got you. Look, how about we just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my ingratitude, for murmuring, for complaining. Forgive me for the thousand ways I've fallen short. And help me, Lord Jesus, to choose thanksgiving. I choose it today. I choose to be thankful. I choose gratitude. I thank you for all your provision, for all your care. Thank you for watching over me. Thank you for men and women who love me and pray for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the influence of good men and good women in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done, for this great salvation, this unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord, that you've turned what I have into enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Yes, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Let's stand.